Good morning. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all those things. Doesn't it feel like Christmas outside? It really does, yeah. But it is Christmas time. It is a season for us remembering God's gift to us, and so we want to praise the Lord today. That's why we're here. We do not have an evening service tonight, so be mindful of that, and no Wednesday night activities this week. We resume activities January 5th, and so be mindful of that. The office will be closed tomorrow, and then we do have a prayer vigil that is lined up for Saturday, January 8th, and we encourage you to sign up for that. We'll be praying from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. There will be slots for you to come in and to pray. The building will be open. Just pray in a pew or come pray at the altar. And to pray for our nation, pray for the new year, pray for our church, just a time to pray. And so we encourage you to sign up for that. Their sign-up sheet is out in the foyer. And one other item just brought to me a moment ago, Upwards Basketball, they have 200 and how many children? 239 kids this year, which means they need a lot of people to help. They are still needing three coaches. And so if you know anyone that can help to coach, they're in need of three coaches, and even somebody that's a believer that can be there for a coach that may not be a believer but is in charge of a team, would like to have someone there that is kind of accompanying them. And so if you're able to do that, please let Steve know. He's going to hang around a little bit after the service in case you're able to help. And so go see Steve when the service is over. Do read your bulletin because there are details on some of these announcements I probably missed, and we want you to have all of those. Allow me to pray as we begin our worship time, and let's ask the Lord to be in our midst this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the great privilege of knowing you through Christ Jesus. We thank you for the season that reminds us that you're a God who gives and has given the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Father, as we celebrate his birth, we also think on his mission that he came to offer himself up in our place, to take on our sins so that we might, by grace through faith, know him and become righteous and have a relationship with the living God for all eternity. Lord God, we thank you for that great blessing. We ask that you stir up our hearts this morning by the presence of your Holy Spirit, and that, Father God, we would muster up all of the praise and the thanksgiving and the expressions that you place inside our heart towards you through song and prayer, time of giving attention to your word, a time of giving, and even in response, that, Lord God, we would be found faithful, exercising faith to your glory. Lord God, I thank you for every blessing that we've known in these days. Thank you most of all for being our God. We do lift up those that have experienced difficulties through these holiday seasons. Father, are recovering from tornadoes and surgical procedures. And Lord God, we just ask that you grant to them strength and energy in these days. And for those who have lost loved ones, Father, that you would just comfort them with your strong presence. Lord God, now be in our midst and draw us near to you and to one another as we worship our great God. We love you and thank you for loving us first through Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Good morning, church. Will you stand with us as we sing to the Lord together this morning? We're going to begin with Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, light o'er all the earth. You who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Shepherds in their fields abiding.
Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Sing Emmanuel,
Emmanuel, Emmanuel. You are the God who saves us, you're worthy of all our praises. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Let's come and worship. Worship Christ, our newborn King. Sing this together.
Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
He is with us.
God is with us. Even now His love is here.
Come and worship.
Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Our God is with us. Even now His love is here, His love is here. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, you are the God who saves us, you're worthy of all our praises. Emmanuel, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Emmanuel, 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 Emmanuel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, this morning we're going to be concluding the series that Brother Robert has been taking us through called Believe It or Not, and just walking us through the story of Christ's coming. And in this last installation, we're going to be looking at the shepherds and the angels proclaiming Christ's birth to them, and then them coming and beholding Christ, the newborn King. And we all know this story. The messenger angel comes before the shepherds and gives the good news that the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, has been born in Bethlehem. And after he gives the good news, he's surrounded, he's joined by a multitude of angels who they all join in a chorus of glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to the people he favors. And so, church, as we continue in worship, let that be the cry of our hearts, glory to God. Let us sing the same song as the angels sang, as we praise Him for His goodness and who He is, His perfect love. Let's sing this together. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. skies with angelic ghosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Gloria.
Christ by highest heaven.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, made in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. As man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Oh, Gloria. Of peace, hail the Son of righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with healing in His wings, mild He lays His glory by, born that man no die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Stepped down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all full of sin became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. To say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do wish, pray, to you be all glory and honor. Lord, help us to give you all our worship now. Thank you so much that we can be in this place, in your house, in your presence. Lord, as we celebrate this season, we are all excited, Lord, that you came down to seek and to save us. Lord, we pray your spirit have reign over this place in this hour to minister to, draw unto yourself, the lost, lift up the believer. Lord, anoint our pastor as he brings the message you put up on his heart. We do love you, Lord, and forever grateful. We have this freedom now and always to worship you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Faithful, come, weak and unstable, come, no, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting one, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our part. pardon, His promises peace. For those who believe, He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promises peace. For those who believe, so come, though you have nothing, come. He is the offering, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Christ is born. Yes, Christ is born. Christ is born.
This morning, as we have come to offer our praise and adoration to you, that you came so that we might be saved. Lord, you left your glorious throne in heaven to become the lowliest of all of humanity, to be born as a baby, and not in a palace with glory and splendor as a king deserves, but in the feeding trough of animals. You became the least so that the lowliest of sinners might be saved. Lord, we thank you for your kindness that goes deeper than we could ever describe. Your love that is unfailing. And Lord, your wisdom that is beyond our comprehension. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word that is all that we need to follow you, to know you. And Lord, now as we have this time to engage with that word together under the leadership of our pastor, Lord, again, we just ask for your anointing of him, that by the power of your spirit that dwells in him, you would speak life into the people here. Encouragement, Lord, correction, whatever it is that we are in need of, that you would speak that through your servant. And that by the power of your spirit indwelling us, that you would prepare us to receive the words of truth that you've left for us. Lord Jesus, let all praise and glory and honor be unto your name from this body this morning. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Alec and Jacob, leading us in music this morning. Good to see you folks. Hope you had a marvelous Christmas time, time with family and time with one another. Be safe this next week. Have fun ushering in the new year. Just don't have too much fun. That's all I'm saying about that. Brother Alec did note that we are going to complete our five-part series on faith that I entitled Believe It or Not, and this morning we'll be looking into the simple faith of the shepherds, the visit that was made to them by the angel and how they responded to that. And it's a familiar text. We've read this text of Scripture. You've probably heard it ad nauseum this season already, but there are so many nuggets of truth and encouragement and instruction for us. We're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and so if you can stand at this time, join me as I read these passages of Scripture this morning. Verse 8, Luke chapter 2, and in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they'd seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray together. Father, again, we come before your throne of grace in prayer. We thank you for the privilege of being in this place to worship, for this time of the year that reminds us of the gift that you have given to man. And Lord God, thank you for giving us understanding and faith and discernment so we might respond to this gift. And Lord God, experience the benefits of it. Lord God, we pray this morning your Spirit would move in our midst and draw us near to you and to one another, and to understand these truths as they might need to be applied to our own lives as far as our response to you by faith. Lord God, stir us up. Would be our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This entire series has been about faith. We have examined the faith of Zacharias, the faith of Mary, the faith of Joseph, faith of Mary and Joseph, and now looking at the faith of shepherds. Faith is necessary for our salvation. Without faith, you cannot be saved. Without faith, you can't please God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we find that very passage. It's impossible to please God without faith. 11, verse 6, rather. You can't please God at all without faith. Faith is biblically defined there in Hebrews 11 as a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a New King James Version, the way I memorized it. New American Standard says faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. If you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you find that faith is really defined by the way man has responded to God. It's hard to put into words how that happens, but you can see through lives that are lived. And so in Hebrews 11, the writer does just that. He utilizes testimony about those who trusted God. In Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about Abraham and Cain, Abel rather, and Enoch, and all of these greats of faith. And then in verse 13, he makes this statement that perhaps wraps it up and helps us to get a little bit more of a comprehension of what faith's about. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing with certainty that there is a reality and a truth out there that perhaps you have not yet been able to embrace or to have. We don't see it, but we know because God has instilled within us a certainty, an assurance about that reality. And that's exactly what we find here in this particular verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Being persuaded by the promises of God, embrace them as truth and reality, even though they're not yet received currently. And so it's an embrace of what God has entrusted to people. And so we've been looking at faith. And this morning, we look at this text, and we find that the text focuses on the activity of shepherds going to visit this Christ child. It's found in a context, obviously, in the first 8 verses of chapter 2. We find that Mary and Joseph come from the land in the north part of Israel, up in Nazareth, where they resided, and they came down to Bethlehem, which was about 6 miles south or so of Jerusalem. because that's where Joseph was from. Apparently, his lineage came through that, and they had to go back to their place of lineage. And so Joseph went back there, Mary too, coming with him and being ready to give birth. And that's exactly what happened there. And this text in verse 8 says, "And so in the same region, there were some shepherds." This is not just an afterthought thought of God. It's necessary for us to hear and to understand that God included these shepherds in this setting. That shepherds watched after sheep. That's what they did. That's what they continue to do in these days. There are shepherds that continue to watch after flocks. And they do it in fields because that's where the shepherd sheep graze. That's where they get their sustenance. During the daytime, they mainly roamed around in wilderness areas. I remember us being in Israel and driving a bus through some of those desert areas and seeing flocks with a shepherd out there in those areas. And you think, how can they find anything to graze off of? But the shepherds led them to places where they could find them. But in the evening time, when the sun was setting, when predators were active, they would bring those sheep together and they would get them in a sheepfold or a corral, as it were. And it had a sheep gate on it. And it was a place where several flocks could come and get inside a protective area. And the shepherds would sit around that sheepfold at night and protect the sheep from any predators that might want to come attack them. So they all came together. Remember John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They'll respond to me." When those sheep went in there and they got mingled together, when it came morning time, the shepherd would stand out and the shepherd of a certain flock would call his sheep, and all of his sheep would come out of the sheep gate because they know his voice and they would follow him. And the next shepherd would do the same and his sheep would come out. And so they had no issues with getting sheep mixed up. They knew that they would all be together. But this was likely the setting. It was nighttime. The shepherds had all come together, shepherds from different flocks, and they were watching over the sheep at night. They probably had a little campfire going. This is winter time, and it was unusual for shepherds to be out in the winter. Usually they were out from April till October. That was a normal time because it was still mild. Israel has a mild climate. But when you get to the winter months, it can be brutal if you're out in the desert area. And so it was unusual for them to be out in the winter, but it wasn't impossible. Upon reading some of the resources, there's a rabbinic writing called a Mishnah. And within that, the rabbis recorded that any animal that might be found between Jerusalem and a spot near Bethlehem would be presumed to be a sacrificial victim. What they mean was that any animals there between Bethlehem and Jerusalem would be considered open game for bringing for offerings and sacrifices. It's very likely that these shepherds were specifically assigned to watch over sheep that would be brought in for offerings and sacrifices into Jerusalem because they offered daily sacrifices, morning and evening. And so there had to be available flocks. And so it's very likely these sheep were watching over special flocks that would be offered up for sacrifices. And so they were out in that field that night. I believe that the Lord specifically looked at these that watched over sacrificial lambs and gave them opportunity to see the real sacrificial lamb. That's just my estimation as I look at this and observe how the Lord worked this out for these shepherds. You hear many times that they're kind of regarded with low esteem. They're thought to be filthy and outcast and cast away. It's really not how the Old Testament portrays shepherds. When you think about it, Moses was a shepherd, and Moses shepherded his people. In fact, when God spoke with Moses, he said, "You will shepherd these people." Same thing was true with David. David was a shepherd for his father, and then he became king, and people regarded him highly as a king, Moses highly as a prophet of God that led his people out of Egypt. And so in the Old Testament, you find positive statements about the shepherd. In Psalm chapter 80, there's a verse in there that talks about the Lord is the shepherd of Israel. There's Psalm 23, obviously, the Lord is my shepherd. David wrote about that. It was positive reflection about sheep and shepherds. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, like a shepherd, God will tend his flock. In his arm, he'll gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Reference to God as a shepherd. Jesus himself in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. So what perhaps over the 400 years of silence and strong pagan influence, especially when the Romans took over, Romans looked down on shepherds, and so it's very likely that the Jewish people embraced this kind of attitude towards shepherds. But shepherds otherwise were highly regarded. When you read through the New Testament and you find the epistles talking about shepherds being the shepherds of flocks, the pastors who lead churches, they're really spoken of in high regard. And so the Lord saw something in these shepherds because he sent an angel to bring a very special message to them. The message wasn't sent to Jerusalem. It wasn't sent to governors. It wasn't sent to noblemen. It was sent to these lowly shepherds. And God's been in the business throughout Scripture. We find it over and over again of exalting the humble and humbling the exalted. Those who are puffed up, he brings them down. But those who are lowly, he raises up. And so this could very likely be a wonderful picture for us to note that the Lord sent an angel, a messenger, to come down and speak to these lowly shepherds who were just doing their job in the middle of a night. And verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. There was no warning. As I said, these guys were probably sitting around some little campfires to try and keep warm, and then suddenly there's an angel standing before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We've talked about the glory in the past a little bit. This is a brilliant radiance that accompanies any angelic visitation or visitation from the Lord. It is the kind of brilliance that lights up everything. It's brighter than the brightness of anything that we can imagine outside of what he presents during that moment. I define this glory as observable evidence of the spiritual reality of the presence of God. It's something that God sends along with his messengers to remind us that there is something holy and special about this messenger and the message that he brings. And it's usually accompanying the visitation of angels to men. We find that happened a couple of times with Moses as he went and he visited with the Lord on Mount Sinai. The glory of the Lord shone around him. He even came down with the glory of the Lord on his face, and the Israelites couldn't stand it. People that are believers, usually when they see the glory of the Lord, when they see the holiness of God, they are overwhelmed by it, but they don't run from it. They stick around. Those that are unbelievers, those that don't want to see the glory of God, they'll run away. And so there are different responses to the glory of God, but we find in the Scripture the glory is accompanying special events and especially the presence of the Lord over and over again. It was present at the temple that was dedicated by King Solomon. Second Chronicles records that. The glory of the Lord came and settled in the temple. That very same glory departed from the temple in Ezekiel chapter 10. When Israel and Judah were going to be cast away and exiled from the land, the glory departed from the temple before the temple would be destroyed. And that glory stayed away for a long time until Christ came. And then the glory accompanied this angel. And as this glory accompanied this angel, it brought fear to these men. But again, they didn't run away. The angel's message that always accompanies the glory is, do not be afraid. And that's exactly what's said here. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. Evangel, good news, where we get the term evangelism, the good news that man needs a Savior and that God has sent one in Christ Jesus. This angel comes and says, I'm bringing you good news that is news of a great joy that shall be for all the people and shall be available for all people to be embraced. So when we note this, just realize that the angel came to give a message from God to men about this good news. God sent his Son. He's a saving God. And he sent the second person of the Godhead to come down to be wrapped in flesh so that redeemed sinners might be redeemed. And that should produce great joy. For those who are saved, when the Holy Spirit comes to settle inside of you, the New Testament tells us he brings fruit. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, I'm going to send a spirit, and the spirit's going to come dwell with you. Paul built on this in the epistles and in Galatians, especially chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These things are characteristics and just determinations of the Spirit's presence. And peace happens to be one of those. Joy happens to be one of those. Jesus said, I bring you joy that the world can't bring. It's a different kind of joy. And so when the Spirit comes, there's salvation and there's great joy as a result of that. Joy doesn't depend upon circumstances. Joy depends upon the reality that is there, that salvation has occurred. And this joy is one that's unexplainable. Peter, in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, says it this way, though you have not seen Jesus Christ, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. So there's this response to salvation, which is a joy. And we find here that this is the very gift that the angel is declaring to his people. I've come to bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all who will receive it, for all who would say, yes, there's joy. You know, a lot of people live without joy in the world. A lot of people don't have joy. It's because they don't have God. They don't have the Spirit. They're trying to make do with temporal things, and they get dissatisfied over and over again. They get discouraged about it. But in Christ, you can be experiencing joy even when things around you are falling apart, because God is a constant, and he's faithful, and he brings an assurance in the heart of those who believe. And so it's only by faith that we can experience that. The Spirit comes to dwell within a believer, brings this joy and peace as well. And we'll note that in just a moment. And this phrase, for all people, is a reference, first off, to the nation of Israel. God came to bring salvation to Israel. He chose them out of the nations of the world to bring them salvation and then to use them as instruments to bring salvation to the rest of the world. Well, they pretty much failed in that department. Christ came to revisit that and to ignite the people of Israel with the salvation so that they might respond to it and that salvation could then be spread to the rest of the world. If you note here, in the very same, in the previous chapter, verse 68, as Zacharias is giving his prophecy after his mouth is opened, he says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he's visited us," that is the Jews, "and accomplished redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant." And so his declaration is that salvation has come to Israel. If you want to see that confirmed a little bit more, look in chapter 2 just a little bit further in verses 30 through 32 at the testimony, the Spirit-filled testimony of Simeon as Christ is brought to be dedicated. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, O Lord, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel." Salvation is of the Jew. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 6. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." And there's a process. God brings the Jew to know him first, then the Gentile to know him as well. And we find it a little bit further in Luke chapter 7, verse 16. We find these words right here. "Fear gripped all peoples." Jesus raised up a dead man, gave him back to his mother. "Fear gripped all those people, and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." Again, reference to Israel. But then God used those people who were converted to reach the Gentiles. Paul made this every place that he went in his missionary journeys. He went to the synagogue first. That's the place where the Jews gathered. Ministered to the Jews. And when they finally got fed up with him or they got saved, then he moved out and began touching the Gentiles that were in those areas. And he would minister to those who weren't Jews. And he would give the gospel of salvation to them so that they might respond. And so this is the very same message that was given. It's first for the people of Israel and then also for all who would believe through the nation of Israel, which would be the rest of us, Gentiles as it were. Verse 11, we find the message from the angel resonated with the Jewish shepherds. Today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who's Christ the Lord. For some 400 plus years, the Jews had been looking for their Messiah. Any Jew would recognize that they had a king years ago that was David. A promise was given to him that a king would continue to reign through his lineage. They looked forward to a king, this promised king that was given. And here the promise has been given in the city of David. There's been born for you a Savior. They were looking for a Savior who is Christ. That word Christ also interprets Messiah for them. They would have recognized they're looking for a Messiah, and he is the Lord. He is God. And so this would be encouraging to even those shepherds who were out in the fields watching over their flocks. They knew the history. They knew David was their earthly king. Through his lineage, this Messiah would come. And maybe they were even aware of the prophecy of Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, shared this with the staff last week. Bethlehem Ephrathah, there are two Bethlehems in the land of Israel. One's in the north, up in the land of Naphtali. The other one's down in the south in Judah. And it is called Ephrathah because it is a fertile place. The one up in the north is in the desert. There's not fertile land there, but in the south there's grains and there's olives and there's produce. And that would be where Christ would be born, is down in Bethlehem Ephrathah. And so even with two Bethlehems, it is specifically noted it's the Ephrathah Bethlehem where Christ would be born. And that was the one just 6 miles south of Jerusalem. So historically, geographically, the Lord was specific. And those shepherds, perhaps down in that area, would be looking for Messiah. Most people were, and ready for a rescuer from the Roman rule that they were under. Then the angel provided an important detail. And note here, this will be a sign in verse 12 for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Well, I can tell you that the baby wrapped in cloths would not be much of a sign. Most all babies are wrapped up. Even today, you go to a hospital after a newborn's been born and you find them tightly wrapped up like a little cocoon. They are mimicking the very setting they just came from out of the womb of the mother where it was tight. And slowly, gradually, that child is given the freedom to move around, but they are initially, they're wrapped up. So that wouldn't be unusual. That wouldn't be a sign. And there may have been two or three other children born during that time. That would not be a sign. What would be a sign was that you'd find this child in a manger. Remember, there was no room for them in the inn. And they had to give birth. When the child was coming, the child was coming. And they happened to be in a place where they were at least out of the main elements, and they were under cover, but they were in a place where animals fed, in a stall, a stable. And the child would be laid in a manger, which was actually a trough, a place that the cattle or the sheep ate out of. And so the baby was laid there. That would be a sign, because probably there's no others. And the Lord said, this is the one. So when the shepherds leave that setting, and they do very quickly in response because of their faith, they go to every place where there's cattle and sheep hiding out, because they know that this baby's supposed to be laying in a manger, in a trough. They don't go to the inns and knock on the doors or the hotels and say, hey, you have any babies in here? They go to the places where animals would be. And this is the sign that those shepherds received from the angel. That was the sign that this would be the special child. He would be lying in a manger. And so they go and they find this child. In fact, verse 13 tells them before they do that, appeared with this angel that gave them the news, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying to them, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's pleased. That phrase, glory to God in the highest, is used many times in the scripture. Revelation record, in our study that we did, took us 3 years to get through. We found those phrases, glory to God, holy, 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 over and over again, in the worship of the one who sits on the throne. And so this would be a revelation to those shepherds that this one was a holy child. This was a child who was to be glorified. and this angelic appearance, the rest of the angels showing up with this one angel, if the brilliance of the radiance of the Shekinah glory of God was not enough, now they had to deal with a heavenly host appearing before them out in the middle of a pasture. And so it had to be very overwhelming for them, but encouraging, as we can tell, because when they're done, they go right away. Notice this, glory to God in the highest. Their message is that God be glorified first, and that's what they come for, praising God. That's really what we come to worship for, is to glorify God. It's not for us. We should be encouraged and we should be inspired and moved, but our worship is for God. He's the recipient. We're the givers in worship. We oftentimes come in and say we're the spectators. We sit around and see what can be given to me, but that's not what worship is. Worship is us giving to God. And that is what these angels come and they recognize glory to God in the highest. This baby that these shepherds are going to find was God, the second person of the Godhead that they had worshiped and served in heaven from the time they were created. These angels recognized that this was God that had come down in flesh. As they were worshiping, they knew Christ from a different realm. This Christ that came down was one that they knew for all of their existence in glory. And they knew him in his greatest glory, and they wondered how this deity could now be wrapped in flesh and presented like just an ordinary child. They came down. The angels wonder about these things. The scripture tells us that in those words. The angels wonder about the whole idea of salvation, of man being redeemed, because all they see is holiness. And they can't understand how God would receive and find as acceptable someone who's been tainted by sin. And so this whole idea of Christ being wrapped in flesh, they are giving glory to God for this amazing incarnation of God coming to be man, Emmanuel, as we have said over and over this morning in our songs, God with us. And then not only glory to God, but then they acknowledge blessing to men on earth. In this same, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he's pleased. Who is God pleased with? And we mentioned this a moment ago in Hebrews 11:6. God is pleased with those who exercise faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so peace will come to those who exercise faith as the Lord pours his Spirit inside of that person to be saved. Again, the fruit of the Spirit includes peace, love and joy and peace and patience and on. So this would again indicate believers. There will be peace among those who believe that this gift has come from God, is God wrapped in flesh. And so this is the message as they're praising God and they're giving this message to the angels. Verse 15 says that after it came about when the angels had gone away from them in heaven. We don't know how long that worship experience was. We have no idea. The scripture doesn't tell us. But when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, then the shepherds began talking to one another saying, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened that the Lord's made known to us. They did not just sit and contemplate and say, we'll look this thing over again tomorrow. They were immediate. Immediately they were ready to go straight to Bethlehem. The scripture says, verse 16, they came in haste. They hurried and they found their way to Mary. Again, I tell you, get this in your head. They ran from stable to stable, cave to cave, to look for this child that would be laying in a manger. And when they only found cattle, they moved on to the next stable and they finally came to the place where Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger were found. What a trek. Faith moves you to go seek Christ. Faith moves you to go. We don't automatically go to seek him, but when the Lord prompts us, we go looking. And these shepherds went looking for this Savior, this Messiah, and they found him. Jesus, the Old Testament and New Testament tells us, seek for him with all your heart, and he'll let himself be found by you. When you seek after him with all your heart, he'll let himself be found by you. And this is exactly what happened. They were filled with a comprehension of this child. They believed what the angels had told them. They were prompted to move and to go seek that which had been declared to them. And they went and they found. In faith, they went and they found Christ Jesus there, and they worshiped him. The scripture says that when they'd seen this, they found him laying in a manger. And when they'd seen this, they made known the statement that had been told them about this child. Verse 17, everything the angels had told these men, they shared with Mary and Joseph. And I ask you to think about this. When Mary was visited by the angel, the message was really pretty short. There's going to be a son born to you. And he's going to be named Jesus. And he's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the king. He'll save his people from their sins. Joseph gets the same message. Now they've gone through being moved out of a hometown, a comfort place, while she is just about ready to give birth, down to, in the winter months, to a place where they could not find shelter. And now they're in a situation where they've had this child out in the most primitive of accommodations. And they get a visit from these shepherds who bring confirmation. This is the Son of God. Angels told us we would find a baby, not only wrapped in cloths, but laying in a manger somewhere. And we've come and we found him. And they said, this is the Messiah. How confirming that was for Mary and Joseph in the worst of times, to provide for them a sense of peace and assurance and calm that God was indeed working out his purposes before them and in their midst. They hurried to get to him. They couldn't wait to share what had been revealed, and their testimony caused all who heard it to wonder. And it would surely cause us to wonder. Those that we tell about salvation, they're going to wonder about it. It's not up to you to save a person. It's up to you to be faithful to witness, to testify what you know, and let the Holy Spirit of God work in that person's life. And they will wonder about it. I can tell you, when I first heard the message of the gospel and the Spirit was ready for me to take it on, I began to come under conviction and thinking deeply about my eternity. I had heard the gospel before, but never did eternity come into my mind. I just thought, oh, that's just religion. But when it was time, my eyes were opened. And I wondered about that. I didn't get saved immediately. There was some process that took place. And I wondered about it. And then the Lord hit me between the eyes, and I was ready to surrender my heart to him, and I did so. But I can tell you that this message that you have will bring wonder into people's hearts. And it also calls Mary to treasure up all these things in her heart. I can only imagine that when Mary was at the foot of the cross, after Christ had been raised up, that she remembered this situation. How this all started, this boy that's hanging on the cross, when he was born, God confirmed his message. When we went to dedicate him, God confirmed that he was one, and there would be sorrow in my heart because of him. God confirmed along the way. Mary pondered things, and she was able to reflect on them at the worst of time when her son was dying on a cross. And so we find that the faith of these shepherds moved them to be an encouragement and a confirmation for Mary and Joseph. They were delighted in their own hearts. I mean, verse 20 tells us that the shepherds went back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen, just as had been told them. You can believe their lives were changed. That night was life-changing. It was different for them. They were never the same again. Never did they watch over their flocks the same way. They probably had a different perspective about their responsibility with these flocks from that point forward. And with engaging with other shepherds in the middle of a night, sitting around a sheepfold, they probably had a story to tell around the campfires. You can imagine their lives were different. Listen, folks, that's how faith in our lives ought to affect us. Such a life change that we can't help but tell the good news that's been shared with us. Here we find these simple shepherds. Thank goodness that they reflect me. I was just a lowly nobody, a little poor little kid in a family. Didn't think anybody even cared about us, but God cared. and he brought salvation into our lives. You can think back about how God raised you up from where you were. No matter how successful or wealthy or whatever, God raised you up to bring you into his fold. He exalted you from a humility. And this is the kind of God that we have. This is the kind of God that brings a gift into our lives so that we might know him and know him for eternity. I think about my own faith often, and Christmas time causes us to believe even stronger in the way that the Lord is good. Not only did God create the heavens and the earth, and I believe that. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, you have to go back to that. It's by faith that we believe that God created all things out of something that's not there, by the word. That's amazing that God would make something out of nothing, that he would create humanity out of dirt. And boy, we would go back to dirt when sin affected us, but he can raise us up into something new. This is the gift that God has given. And he's granted a faith so we might be able to declare this as best as we can to those around us who do not know. Like these shepherds, we need to go and find somebody who needs to hear and tell this good news just as we know it. You may say, well, Brother Robert, I don't know scripture like you do, and I don't know any approach to evangelism. You tell them what God's done for you. It's testimony. And let God do the work. You tell what you know. It'll cause them to wonder. You're not responsible for what they do with that. You're simply responsible for what you do with the gospel. Listen, these shepherds didn't say, oh, we got something great for us. We'll just stay here in the sheep field. No, they went and they shared. They encouraged somebody that needed encouragement. Listen, the gospel's not just for you to get a ticket to heaven. The gospel is for you to have something to share with others. Just like our God, who's a giving God, he's called us to be a giving people. I pray that we will be faithful and have exercised faith like these shepherds. Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. You've given us time to be with family and friends and to think about your gift to us. We have shared gifts. We have eaten with friends and family. And Lord God, you've just blessed in so many ways. Lord, there are also others who've suffered through treatments and recovering from surgeries and have lost loved ones close to the holidays. And Lord God, they're having a difficult time. I pray, Father, that you administer grace and comfort and strength to those. I pray also, Father, that you would infuse us with a spirit filling so that we might exercise faith like these shepherds and not be content to just revel in our salvation experience, but Lord God, to be willing to share with others so that they might know you too. Lord God, thank you for giving us Jesus. May we be found good stewards as we look for opportunities to share him with others. Lord God, grow our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. The altar is open. I'm glad to pray with you. We're going to take some time to respond.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home.
Father God, as we make preparation to depart from this place and become your scattered church, we pray, Lord God, that you would infuse us with your spirit and help us to be found faithful and good stewards of this gospel message, this gift that you've given to us. Lord God, we do thank you for every benefit that we receive as a result of knowing you, but we also pray, Father, that we'll be instruments in your hand to share this good news with others. Lord God, may you be exalted, and you will exalt us at the right time. Thank you for your goodness. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I believe there's a special presentation for you here.
Hey, guys, we'll be quick. I can't believe I'm getting all tearful. We've been working on Advent season, Children's Church, and we've been working on a few Bible verses, and so we're going to recite a couple of them. We have learned that Jesus is our
King.
We have learned that Jesus is our
Prophet.
And that Jesus is our
High Priest.
High Priest, and that he fulfills all of those roles perfectly. And now we're ready to recite. Ready? All right. Take it away.
Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Yes, thank you guys. All right. We're going to say one more, and this one we haven't worked on as much as this one, but they all know it within their hearts, whether they get the words right or not. You guys will know. All right.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Thank you, guys. And you are dismissed.